The year is 2003. Tom is your first friend on MySpace. 50 Cent costs a dollar on iTunes. The Terminator becomes the Governator. And nobody can find those weapons of mass destruction. T-minus 20. Rewind 20 years with Joe and Mel.
Week of 8, June 2003.
T-minus 20.
The rest is history.
Britney, bitch.
T-minus 20.
You need to nominate two housemates.
If you think you're some bitch is full of crap, give me a hell yeah.
Welcome to Jackass.
Oh, it's a podcast where we rewind. Rewind gets harder to say when you do two episodes back to back and you've had a couple of schooners, but we rewind to, I did that well.
You did.
We rewind to this week, 20 years ago, way back in 2003. That's the concept of the podcast. We talk about everything that happens in news, music, popular culture, technology, people having birthdays, people dying, people getting married, you name it. We'll talk about it if it's relevant and interesting to us and hopefully to you. It's your host, Joe and Mel. Hello, Mel.
Hello. Do you prefer 8th to 14th June or June 8th to 14th?
I don't see any reason.
Yeah, get your views on how I do the dates.
Yeah, I don't see any reason for putting an unnecessary th on the end of it.
8 to 14 June or June totally 8 fine. To 14?
Totally fine. 8 to 14 sounds more authoritative. It makes you sound like you know a little bit.
14 June.
It's more absolute. It's more certain. It makes you sound like you know what you're talking about. And that's interesting because I'm looking at the show notes this week and I see intro and it's blank. So what's happening in this week's show, Mel? What's going on? Tell us.
We've got a space mission. We're heading intergalactic planetary to Mars. We're going to Mars this week.
Get your ass to Mars. Yep.
2020 cricket is invented.
Something that you're very passionate about.
No, I'm not. But I think that's a big deal in the cricket world, isn't it?
2020.
I feel like it is. I feel like people talk about that a lot. Yep. So I think it's topical.
Yep.
We're going to talk about a little company that basically invented the monetization of search on the internet.
Now, this is game-changing stuff in the technological world. A bit
nerdy.
They don't
really get the credit that they deserve for that.
Well, it's kind of the backbone. Like, it's the backbone to everything as far as big tech earners go these days, right? Monetized search.
Monetization.
That's where the money is at.
We're going to jump on a magic stick.
Oh, that sounds...
We're going to check out Stacey's mom.
Right. Oh, well, Stacey's mom can... Anyway, keep going.
And we've got the Stripped and Justified tour.
Oh, God.
Or Justified and Stripped tour. Sorry, I got it around the wrong way.
So Justified that we're stripped and jumping on magic sticks with Stacey's mom.
Yes. Oh, sounds and a book perfect. From Hillary.
A book from Hillary. Hillary had a book.
Hillapalooza.
Hillapalooza.
Yes,
I love it.
We're going to talk about that as well.
Sounds fabulous.
I know what's going on. I know what's happening.
You do. You are as hot, if not hotter, than Stacey's mum.
Something that I don't know what's going on is what's happening over on our TikTok, because I stopped going there after someone called me a half-wit, I've mentioned many times, because I'm still, as you can tell, a little bit upset.
We do talk about TikTok being a bit of a wasteland, and I'm also concerned that the Chinese are reading my keystrokes every time I go onto TikTok.
The keystrokes of your magic
I'm just wondering
stick.
What they can extort from me, especially when we're doing research for the show. Like, our search history is very bizarre.
It is, actually. Yes. Mm. Anyway, I missed something, and luckily this person reached out on Insta as well, because I wouldn't have known what was going on. Something
Excellent.
Really important. So do you remember earlier this year, I don't know when it was, but the show Your Life on the Lawn. We talked about that debuting.
I remember.
That was the show where they were helping people, I guess, with hoarding tendencies.
It was kind of it was reality TV, but it was back when it was a different time.
But this
it was a
before,
more innocent time.
And this was before the whole sensationalist hoarders. This was before, like, hoarders, you won't believe what was in the house. This was more like, okay, these people have trouble letting go of things.
Yeah,
we're
it's like,
help
oh,
them.
Look, you've got a bit of stuff.
Yeah.
We're just going to help you separate the stuff that is just a
Put
bit
all your
much.
Crap out on the lawn.
Yeah.
And we'll help you throw it in the bin.
And we'll
donate it.
We'll keep
to
the stuff that means something to you, but we'll declutter. We'll help you declutter. These guys.
It was very kind.
I feel like Your Life on the Lawn was ahead of its time, because if you think of things like Marie Kondo and stuff about whatever sparks joy. Well,
and professional organisers. That is such a big thing on social media now. People that organise your pantry. You pay thousands of dollars for someone just to bring a couple of IKEA tubs and chuck all your crap in there. I'm like, That's not worth it. Yeah, and they stick a label on it.
Australian TV was doing that with Your Life on the Lawn way before it was cool.
Anyway, so we talked about that a while ago. And we were talking about the cards. Do you remember this conversation? And there was the guy that had all the
cards away. Like if somebody writes you a card, because if you throw any of mine away, I'm going to be so offended because the messages are so heartfelt.
Yes.
And I work so hard to write heartfelt messages.
Sometimes you spell the words wrong and you cross it out.
Yeah, it's bad when you do that with a Sharpie because you spent $6 on a card.
I know. Like
cards are $6.
And I can see the whiteout. It's obvious. Well, we were talking about because the guy in the show had all of these cards dating back 30, 40 years. He just couldn't get rid of them.
Just couldn't let go of his cards.
And we were talking about, well, what's the rule? And we stuck something up on the socials and we put a poll up.
Yeah.
And so many people cannot get rid of cards. I think out of the poll, there was only one person that's like, nah, I'm going to chuck them.
When you say so many people, how many people took part in our poll?
Probably 7 or 8. That's a lot for us, considering we only have 3 listeners.
I consider that a cluster study.
I think that is a legitimate sample.
Sure.
I think we could write a thesis based on that sample.
Yeah,
that is a representative sample of the Australian population. No, the worldwide population.
Go for it. Yep, let's roll.
Omnipresent world.
Oh, you're getting all Martha Stewart
turned into Martha and her clones. Okay. Anyway, so a lot of people had issues with throwing it away, and we made the comment, and I think we put a clip on the socials going, we really need these rules. Lasan Oliver, who was the person on the show helping the guy get rid of his cards, has found us.
Jeez, you're a bit late to the party, Lasan.
Better late than that. Well, it's only a few months.
So when did we receive this?
Well, at time of recording today.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, by the time this ends, a few weeks.
Party. Well, you know.
Well, we spoke about it. I think it was about 2 months ago. So.
Well, let's say, I mean, we're talking about that search engine stuff later on, like the advertising in search. I guess search engine optimization has taken a little while to catch up.
Mm.
So maybe Lasan has searched for something else and they've gone, if you like that, you're going to love this.
And then she's like, hang on a minute, you guys have stuck a photo of me up on your socials. She's gone.
Sorry.
Oh, hello, that was me. I'm Lasan, the organiser on that show. And then she said, because we said, we really need these tips on throwing the cards out because so many people can't do it.
So what did Lasan say?
She said she has all the episodes, firstly, because I said, did anyone tape it?
Of Your Life on the Lawn.
Yes, because I want to know what the rules are.
Yeah.
She said, I have all the episodes. And then she came back and she gave the tip of how you what you do, what the rules are for keeping your
cards. Okay, well, don't leave me hanging.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, the tip was, you keep the card if it's a really special message.
Right.
Hope all your dreams come true this year is not a special message.
No,
I love that she gave us an example as well. That's helpful.
Yeah, that's dog shit, actually.
And she said it can't be generic. So there you go. That's the rules.
Wow.
It needs to be a special message.
As long as it's, like, heartfelt, that's why you can't throw any of my cards away.
They are. They do have lots of special messages,
don't they? A little bit starstruck.
Me too.
Wow.
And she started following us. That probably won't last.
Apologies in advance.
Yes.
Don't do it on TikTok.
But thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. She also has a snow globe of the opera house with no war painted on
it. That is cool.
I'd love to chat to her and say, what was the most random thing you found when you put people's life on the lawn? Could you imagine some of the stuff that she would have come across?
I can. And I imagine I
probably not
know,
fit for discussion.
No, it's kind of like I wonder what people threw out before the Your Life on the Lawn. Like you'd have stuff that you were conscious of them not finding.
Oh, you wouldn't want on national television.
It's like, please delete my search history.
Yes.
Ah, it just every time I hear it, it takes me to a special place.
What other songs could I do?
On the
I learned that so quickly. That only took me about 2 hours.
I'm glad because so I don't think I could live in a house where you were practicing the recorder like for a few hours a day.
I could do an intro for something else.
If you didn't know what that theme was.
How could you not know what that theme is?
It's the entertainment.
It's obvious.
It's the entertainment.
Obvious AF.
With Lisa Gibbons and John Tesh.
That's like Maria entertainment.
Lisa Gibbons and John Tesh is like Entertainment Tonight in the 80s.
The OGs,
okay. But we do a clue, the Hatch, Match and Dispatch clue. You know it. You listen to us and you love us, and that's really wonderful because we love you too. But we will revisit this clue at the end of the episode. It is a celebrity that we will feature in the Hatches, Matches and Dispatches segment. They either had a birthday, they were born, they got married, or they died. Which celebrity, having a birthday, famously said this?
I'm a loser, people. Oh, yeah, let's get that out of the way. You know, 36, not married, I sleep on a futon.
I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
Futon.
I mean, that's true freedom. 36.
How good were futons?
36, not married and sleeping on a futon. Oh, to have that kind of freedom.
Can you still get futons?
I used to have a futon.
I know.
Yeah.
Can you still get them?
I don't know. I guess
I haven't seen a futon in years.
Well, I kind of upgraded. Like, I'm out of the market for a futon. I need an ensemble.
You're no longer sleeping
days.
On it.
My back.
On a couch hybrid.
God, my back. Could you imagine my poor, decrepit spine on a futon?
On a futon. Yeah. Oh,
I've got You'd tears in my eyes just thinking about that. I mean, you're practically sleeping on the floor. You're sleeping on some slats and, you know, some kind of, it's a doona on top of some slats and then with another doona on top of it. That's what a futon is.
Doona sandwich. We'll find out who was sleeping in the doona sandwich at the end of the show.
The news commencing on the 10th of June this week.
Well, you said the th was unnecessary.
Oh.
You've brought it back.
Oh, thit. Sorry. Put an unnecessary third on the 10th.
10 June.
The news for 10 June.
2003.
Don't need an and. Just go 2003.
2003.
If you want to talk about efficiency dividend, okay. We should probably shut the f*** up and get on with the news.
2003.
Yeah.
The Spirit rover is launched, beginning NASA's Mars exploration.
We're not talking
mission.
About a ghost dog. We're talking about the Spirit rover, but not about
NASA's. It's a NASA
thing. It's a NASA thing. It's a vehicle. It's a little vehicle that
takes photos,
drives around Mars and takes pictures.
Yes. Mm. It was one of two rovers that were launched in 2003. The other was called Opportunity, Spirit and Opportunity.
Uh-huh.
The mission for these guys was to search for signs of ancient water.
Ancient water.
Ancient water.
Mm.
Mm. Yes.
So like when
water from the old times.
Like when your grandfather takes a piss. Ancient water.
Well, this remember we've spoken about this. They're wanting to find out if Mars can support life.
Yes.
And
yes.
the whole idea is if there's water there,
then there would have been an atmosphere.
We could all move there when this world all goes to shit.
Yes, exactly.
It's outlasted. Well, they refer to Spirit as a her. I like that they refer to them. It's almost like they're people.
The reliable ones. Yeah, the reliable craft. Yeah.
Spirit was meant to be there for 90 days, but ended up lasting over 6 years.
Wow. Way to go, Spirit.
Spirit was the size of a golf cart and weighed around 185 kilos. She ran into a little bit of a problem, actually, when she first. So it takes about, is it a year?
Mm.
Bit less than a year, I think.
To get to Mars.
So she was launched this time 20 years ago, and then in January 2004 is when she got there.
Right.
Ran into a few problems.
Yeah, she dropped out. They lost the signal or something like that.
Shortly after Spirit landed, we had a problem where we lost contact with the rover for a couple of days. And this was a particularly scary time because not only had we lost contact with one of the rovers and we didn't know why, we had another rover coming in for a landing hard on our heels, and we didn't know if whatever had happened to the first rover was going to happen to the second one. It turned out that we were able to regain control of Spirit. She had filled up her own memory system, the equivalent of her hard disk, and she couldn't boot up. And she started booting up and said, "Oh, look, my hard disk is full. I can't boot up. Let me try rebooting." And so she was basically just sitting there on Mars punching her own reboot button until we finally came along and figured out what was going on and were able to get her to stop.
Cut it out, Spirit. You're drunk. You know, it's funny. You know how your parents are always like, make sure you call me when you get there so I know you've shown up safely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Spirit Rover got a bit stuck there.
They were so stressed too.
I can imagine they spent a lot of money and then she's sitting there punching her own reboot button.
I think they reformatted the flash drive. The USB stick was full. Well, they were only quite small in those days. You could only fit a few files on
look. It's been a long flight.
Spirit had brought a couple of books to read on the way and used up the whole USB stick.
It's been a long flight. When I get there, I'm just going to check into a hotel and I'm going to punch my own reboot button for a few hours in the privacy of my own room. I'll call you when I'm done.
They sent up a software patch.
Yes.
Which was handy, and normal operations resumed on the 5th of February.
Well, thank
2004.
Goodness.
Spirit found evidence that Mars was once much wetter than it is today.
Well, that's from punching the reboot button.
And helped scientists better understand the Martian wind.
Oh, really?
During her time there, she took over.
Martian wind and ancient water. Goodness me.
She took over 124,000 photos, travelled 4.8 miles.
I have to say, that is quite miraculous. Like, if you think about that, she lands and it's like.
And they think she's
and they're
busted.
Like, oh, my God.
It's not working.
The rover's f***ed. We're in big trouble here. And then she goes on to perform tasks for, what was
six
it?
6 years. Yeah. Instead of 90 days.
Very, very impressive.
This was what we were there for, to explore and go out and see new places that have never been seen by human eyes. Mars is a pretty harsh place. We've had dust storms before. We have really low power situations in winter. We've had other small glitches that have caused us some tense moments. But Spirit seems to always find a way of turning some kind of adversity into something positive.
It was only by outlasting her design specifications and never giving up and absolutely never, you know, letting Mars get her down that she ended up finding what she had gone to Mars for.
It's so lovely.
Oh,
listening,
I love the way
to
they
the NASA
about
people
her.
Talk about it's oh. like it has a life unto itself. Oh. It's not just a machine or an inanimate. Well, it's an animate object because it moves around and does stuff. It's a rover by name, but the way they speak about it, they're so attached to it. They're so fond of it. They talk about how it overcomes adversity. I mean, it's out there by itself. You know what I think about is like that movie WALL-E.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just all on its lonesome, just doing its thing.
Aww.
You know,
or
maybe,
number five is alive.
Yeah, I wouldn't go.
Imagine if Short Circuit went to Mars.
I don't even know if that movie really stands up. It was kind of racist that had that Indian character.
Oh, yes.
In just,
Ben.
It hasn't aged Ben. Well. Anyway.
Let's get back to Spirit then.
Yes.
And these guys would have been absolutely devastated in 2009 because she became stuck in a soft soil at a site called Troy.
Oh,
and
she got
I think one. So I think she had six wheels to start with, and one of them broke off. So she had five wheels, and then like just this broken wheel that she was dragging,
just
along.
Limping around on.
Yeah, yeah, and they were trying for months and months. They were doing all these testing maneuvers, clearing the hard drive, everything. They tried everything, and they eventually ended efforts to free her and ended the mission.
They gave up on her
on May 25th, 2011.
Oh,
so,
oh, my
look,
heart.
They tried for 2 years. That's,
oh wow,
that's pretty dedicated. Yeah, they tried for 2 years.
That's
and
a long time to leave the life support on.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine how emotional they would have been.
I love that. This story is inspirational.
Yeah.
I love space exploration so much. I just it gives you – it just fills you full of hope. It just because it's all about being better and more than what you are here. Like, it's about going further afield. It's the whole concept of exploration is fabulous. I love it. I love it from when you talk about the stories of the early explorers, even though they probably did a lot of terrible things when they went to certain countries and discovered native populations.
Yes.
But like going to Mars and going to outer space is wonderful. And it's like, as much as Elon Musk is a bit of a twat, you know, the fact that he wants to do that and put money towards that, like, I'm all in. I think, imagine what it's going to be like. And it might not happen in our lifetime, but somebody's going to be up there on Mars one day and they're going to come across that Troy site and they're going to find Spirit, you know,
R.I.P.
and maybe give her a proper burial. Let's talk about sport and one of the most exciting sports of all. I just watched you completely glaze over then.
Well, I stopped listening. What?
You lost me at sport.
Yes.
We're talking about cricket. This was
my hard drive's
this
full.
Was, yeah, I thought your hard drive's full.
Yes.
All right. Well, maybe you can go and move over to Mars and go and smash your reboot button for
great.
A while. We're talking about 2020 cricket. The first official 2020 matches happened this time 20 years ago on the 13 June. Sorry.
I love that they invented this because everyone's like, cricket's boring. I don't want to sit here for 500 hours.
Let's make it shorter.
Watching you all just stand there. doing nothing.
Well,
much.
They don't do nothing. They play
the
cricket.
The people out on the field just stand there.
I love the concept there. Of a test match going for quite a few days. And went back when I had more time, I thoroughly enjoyed. When I was unemployed, cricket
Nobody
was just
Nobody has
a
time for that.
Godsend.
No.
It's a great sport to watch when you're unemployed. Because so it was free and it was on all the time during the summer.
Benson and Hedges.
Yes. The cigarettes, the ciggies.
Yes.
The Benson the and Hedges smokes. Cup. The quality well, they smokes. Were B&H.
B&H. Well, they were probably a tier down from Dunhill, but yes. They,
I couldn't afford to smoke Dunhill, but what I'd did you, definitely Long go for Beach, B&H Extra
Long
Mild.
Beach, Horizon.
B&H Extra Mild, mate.
Horizon Menthol.
All day. All day. B&H Extra Mild represent. Let's hear it for a quick. Let's hear it for a quick death. Let's hear it for shortened lifespans.
It's gonna be Winnie Blues.
Thank
Come
God,
on.
Lungs apparently heal themselves. Because I'm so glad I don't smoke anymore. What a horrible
Benson
habit.
And Hedges sponsored the cup, and yes. that ended in 2002.
Yeah,
and the England and Wales Cricket Board needed to find another one-day competition to fill its place.
We don't want that dirty tobacco money, and we need another one-day competition.
The kids
to
aren't
fill its
smoking
place.
Anymore because apparently it's bad.
Exactly,
and apparently
well, come on,
cricket's
kids.
Boring.
Well,
apparently
your cricketing
it's boring
heroes smoke.
Because it goes for too long. They wanted to draw in the younger generation because crowds were dwindling.
Yeah,
and sponsorship was not really sponsoring.
Yeah,
they wanted something fast-paced and exciting.
Yeah.
And people were put off because it's boring. So and it's long and boring. So they went, okay, well, let's come up with something a little bit shorter.
20 overs.
People
20
don't
overs
have
a piece.
Very long yep. attention spans. And I think the other thing was that people are watching other sports that goes for like, you know, 70 minutes or so.
Yeah,
well, how long does a footy game? 80 minutes.
90 minutes of footy game, 45-minute halves, isn't it? 40-minute halves.
It's 40 minutes. Well, 10-minute break in the middle. But people are used
soccer's,
to that.
Soccer's 90 minutes.
Nobody wants to be watching cricket for hours and hours. So they come up with 20-20. Yeah. So like you say, 20.
Well, I disagree with that. That's why I love American football because it goes for like three. The games go for like 3 hours and you've got plenty of time to drink beer and go to the toilet in between things and not miss anything. And cricket is even better because you can make a day of it.
Yeah.
Or 3 days of it. You could start a bender at the beginning of a test match and come out the other side and just realise that you haven't showed up for work or lost your job.
In a 2020 game, the two teams have a single innings each, restricted to a maximum of 20 overs, much shorter than previous forms, and people liked it.
Yeah.
It succeeded in spreading around the world. I think most international tours these days have at least one 2020 match. There's domestic cups. I'd like to see French cricket added to the roster.
French cricket.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Oh, yeah.
With the bins, with the wheelie bin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
French cricket. Mm. Well, French cricket.
With a plastic bat.
No, you don't need a wheelie bin because your legs are the stumps in French cricket.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. With a plastic bat.
You have to hold That'd the bat great. Sort of like in front of your old fella and
I'd
protect
watch that.
It.
Anyway, 2020. Happy 20-year anniversary.
How long do
to
the
you?
Matches go for in 2020?
Well, it just depends. They have a single innings each, maximum of 20 overs.
So what do you reckon?
So I
like
think it's closer to 70. No, 70 minutes. So it's closer to an hour.
Oh, that's – you're not even getting started. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, but I guess –
Haven't even finished your packet of Benson and Hedges
mate,
at this point.
Lucky to get through a six-pack and half a packet of B&H. Talk to me about technology, Mel.
14 June.
I mean, if 2020 cricket wasn't advanced enough, like let's talk about technological advances over in the world of internet search.
14 June.
Yeah.
2003.
Uh-huh.
2003.
Yahoo
bought a company called Overture.
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 What's an Overture?
For $1.63 billion.
Right. That's a lot back then. Well, it's a lot in general. I mean, we're talking billions.
Pay per click, you know, when you do a Google search.
PPC, yep.
PPC. Mm-hmm. And you are served up your results and some of them are paid.
Yeah.
So you click on it and that company pays a fee, pay per click.
PPC.
Who do you think invented that?
Google?
Not Google.
No.
No. Overture is the company behind that
pay
whole
per click.
Model.
So they monetized search. So it's
search.
Like if X amount of people search for your thing above anything else, you give us money.
You bid for a keyword. And if you're successful in the bid, you can have that keyword. So when people type that keyword in, you are served up as the
first choice.
Yeah. Right. But it's clear that it's paid. Right. And then you pay a fee every time someone clicks that pay.
Right. So that's like when you look at Google now and you do a search and you see the first two or maybe three things yeah. aren't, and it's got ad.
Yes.
And then it tells you the thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Overture started out as goto.com.
Right.
And advertisers would bid on the terms that they wanted to trigger or display their ads.
I'm glad they changed their name because Goto is a bit cheap. Overture, lovely, beautiful, regal. Even.
And they then pay each time you yeah. click on the ad.
Yeah.
Bill Gross or Gross
yeah.
is the man responsible for what is now probably one of the most important business models of the internet. Because if you think back to early 2000s, advertising on the internet was pretty much a banner ad.
Yeah.
Yep. So you think about a banner ad. Have you ever clicked on a banner ad?
Oh, hell no.
No.
I don't know where it's going to take me. I'm scared of
no.
it.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody clicks on a banner ad. Yeah. They're annoying.
Yeah,
they get in the way. They're distracting. They flicker and it just distracts your eye.
Yeah, but as soon as I feel stupid and don't know anything and want to look like I do know something, I tell you what I do, I search.
And they've integrated, and it's the perfect model, right? Because they've integrated search, something that everybody has to do, with advertising.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's an instinctive function these days. It's it's our first port of call whenever we open up a browser.
Yeah, and Bill noticed that it was inefficient and people struggled to find what they were looking for.
Yeah, right.
And so GoTo launched with the tagline, "Search engine made simple."
Oh, good on you, GoTo. Well done.
It was so successful that by 2000 it had up to 25,000 advertisers who'd made around 4 million bids for up to 500,000 keywords.
Isn't that funny that words are worth money?
Yeah.
Like words are worth something.
The company's revenue in 99 was reported to be $26.8 million.
Not bad. Not bad going into Y2K with that much cash. Going to have a big New Year's Eve.
Yeah, oh, you're going to party like it's 1999.
Well, especially if you think it's going to be the end of the world. There's one that they didn't spend it all. Anyway.
Yeah, watch out for that millennium bug. 2001, they changed to Overture.com. And their business model, and I think this was their downfall, it relied on providing listings to various other search engines. So the pay-per-click would be done through other – they didn't own the search engine. So I think they'd partnered with other engines like – who did you have back then?
Ask Jeeves.
Probably Ask Jeeves, AltaVista.
AltaVista.
I don't know. Wow. AOL. No, not – probably – I think there was Yahoo. Oh, no, AltaVista. AOL, MSN.
Yeah.
So they partnered with these other engines.
Yep.
And then Yahoo bought it this time 20 years ago.
Rightio. Yahoo. Well done.
Google
yeah.
thought, hey, that's a good idea, and came up with, I think it was AdWords.
Right.
And Overture had actually already begun infringement cases against Google saying, hey, you've stolen our IP. Get off it. And Google disagreed. Yahoo buys Overture, it's going pretty well, but like I said, it's being used through other search engines, not their own search
yep.
engine, and that's where Google ended up, I guess, defeating them in a way because Google owned the search engine that it was putting the paid advertising into.
I'm getting confused a little bit, but I'm sure that there was a couple of points in history where Yahoo could have ended up owning Google, but they never ended up doing that.
I think so.
Bit of a sliding door moment.
Yeah, and I think the power of Google was that because Google owned its own search function and it had revenue streams coming from elsewhere, it was able to really pump a lot of cash into developing and advertising and bringing people on board with AdWords.
Yes.
And that's why it ended up doing better than Overture.
Well, it smashed them in the end.
But it was a game changer because it effectively moved from banner advertising to integrating advertising into something that you needed to do, and that was to search.
Yes, yes. Well, there was this guy called Josh Myers who was the senior manager of corporate development at Yahoo, and he was there when Yahoo was sold, and he changed his role up to become the general manager of the Yahoo Publisher Network, and he talks about what was going on at the time.
I switched into a group that did the distribution of our paid listings, and I had an idea for how to you know, how to refactor our product to create, you know, a new opportunity that we were not capitalizing on. And I took $80 million. We were over $1 billion in revenue. And I took $80 million of our business and said, these guys are sort of different. They have different needs. Let's form a team and product around that and see if we can't make it grow. And I did that for so 2 years before being acquired by Yahoo, and then 3 years forming that business. And I was able to become the general manager of that business and have my own P&L, which was the first time they had done that, and have about like 40 people working on it. And we grew it from $80 million to $500 million over the course of those 3 years. So it was a pretty wild ride.
You're not wrong.
Wow.
Not wrong. There's so much money in big tech. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you know what he's doing now? He is the CEO of a company called Slick Deals. Do you know what Slick Deals is?
Oh, gosh.
Well, thank you, Mel. I'm glad you asked.
What is Slick Deals?
10 million users are on Slick Deals, sharing information on shopping deals and coupons.
Oh, right? The coupon codes.
It just seems like such a step down from being GM of the publisher.
Yeah.
It seems a little bit bottom feeding, but he still makes an absolute fortune with it. So good for him.
Imagine.
But yeah, like this whole thing was really a big game changer. Like before like GoTo, I think it was just like you said, like those banner ads, which is
That's all you had, and way before programmatic advertising as well. And I read a thing from a guy, because there was an article on it, and a guy had commented and he said, I actually worked for Overture, and I'm really glad that you've written this article, because it was such an amazing place to work, because it was still – we're on the downward slope from the dot-com boom, but it's still – Silicon Valley is still thriving, and it's still an exciting time. And this guy spoke about – what an amazing company it was to work for, and how everybody just felt so invigorated working for something that was such a game changer, because they knew at the time, they're like, this is going to change the way that advertising is done on the internet. Like, this is a big deal. And they all knew that. And he was just saying, he's like, I just have the fondest memories of my time there, because we knew we were part of something that was going to be groundbreaking. It was going to change the game as far as internet advertising.
But it also moved really quickly. So they moved through these things. It was like 2-3 years, and then it was on to the next thing. And like search now, I mean, search is everything. Like, search is everything.
And the whole concept of keywords is quite – it can be quite dangerous and deceptive as well. So what you find is, say there's a well-known reputable brand.
Yeah.
Companies that provide the same product, who are direct competitors, will bid on keywords of that brand so that they appear higher in search.
Well, okay, so that's the thing. I said search is everything. Search is everything to end users, but discoverability is everything to business.
Yeah.
And it still kind of is, I guess. But I can remember when, you know, we were dealing with like AltaVista and all those other search engines and things like that, and then Google came in. It was total game changer because it was so easy to use.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, we are experiencing a little bit of a lull. We're a little bit complacent at the moment, but I think that there will be a spark, like, and a little bit more of an ignition with this sort of stuff. And I'm really interested in seeing what happens next, because it's like, okay, so we've been doing this for a while. Like, it's all established. The foundation's been built. We've been doing it for a while. But what's the next game changer?
Yeah.
What's that going to be? Because once the internet hit, like, technology, once all that stuff hit, like, things started moving a lot quicker. It's like any kind of industrial revolution. As soon as you make a discovery, everything starts evolving and moving quickly around it. So I think we're at a point now where we've got, like, everyone's online. We do everything online. There's all this network. What's next? Like, what happens next? Like, and then you get into really sci-fi stuff. Like,
it's all the AI, right?
Yeah.
Well, where is that gonna take us?
Well, that's right. So I'm sitting here like an idiot saying there's a lull, and then in the background, like, people are writing essays in ChatGPT these days. Like, so AI is the next big thing. You're totally right. Like, I'm just some crazy old timer that's dealing with ancient water.
But this is the you are ancient water.
Yeah.
But it's like we can't keep up with the ethics and the governance and the morality behind these things either. Like you look at this and you look at, wow, that was really crap how Google kind of came in over the top. And you saw that a lot in early 2000s. It was the companies that had the financial backing, not the companies that came up with the ideas. It was the ones that had the money to be able to do that that succeeded. Whereas now it's like all of these things are happening so fast. And we can't write the policy or think about the ethics behind it
keep up with that.
It's like, well, what does that actually mean for society? What does that mean for business? Yeah. Like you've got AI making decisions and AI doesn't have ethics.
Yeah.
Like it.
Well, it kind of does, but it only has the ethics that are ingrained into it by the person who wrote the algorithm or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're right. And then politics or governments turn around and go, hang on a minute. And it's like, oh, you are so late to the party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's a bit scary.
Yeah. Music. What's happening in music this week? Are we inspired? Is there something that will stir my ancient water and Martian wind?
Oh, there is, yes.
Oh, beautiful. There definitely let's is. Go.
Can guarantee. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about the number one here in Australia, number one in UK, same one, this one.
Evanescence. Oh. I still struggle with the name of that band. I think we discussed what it meant ages ago, but my comprehension.
It just makes me think of Schweppervescence and the bubbles of nothing that make it really absolutely something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
No, with the definition was something about fading into obscurity or something like that.
It's so emo. All right, next.
It's very emo.
Next.
All right, let's jump over to the US and have a listen to the top five over there.
Five. I got the magic stick. I know if I could hit once, I could hit twice. I'll hit the baddest chicks. Sure they don't believe me, then come with me tonight. Four.
I really wanna be with you. I wanna be real with you. I can't leave you alone. And I know I'm living wrong, but I can't let you go.
Three.
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. As long as you want, you know I got it.
Baby,
get busy, just say that booty non-stop. When the beat drop, just keep swinging it. Get jiggy, get drunk, up, percolate. Anything you want, forgot it, oscillate it.
Girl, it's easy to love me now. Would you love me if I was down and out? Would you still have love for me?
If I fell off tomorrow, would you still love me?
Goodness me. That's a bit of an assault to the senses, the top five this week. There's a lot of stuff going
rap.
On in there.
It's all pretty much hip-hop,
isn't
it?
There's a lot of rap. And
we
I'm just,
loved our hip-hop early 2000s. We've moved on from the emo. We're into the hip-hop.
I'm just confused.
I did. I always have.
I'm confused.
You're confused.
I know that 50 Cent is in there a couple of times. Is that? That's...
He's still number one with 21 questions. Is he touring? Didn't you find like a 50 Cent outfit on Amazon today that included a bulletproof vest?
Oh, there's some dude going nuts on TikTok about that? 50 Cent doing some kind of tour, and it was like you can get the cap and the vest and the bandana,
because he was dressing like 50 off one of the album covers or something, wasn't he?
You can cosplay 50 Cent at his concert. I'm sure he'd appreciate that.
I don't know, walking out on stage.
And
I don't know that Curtis would appreciate
seeing like a bunch of heads cosplaying you while you're there.
Get out.
And filming you on their phones at the same time instead of being
push
in
you
the
in
moment.
The pool like that chick from Next Top
yeah,
Model.
Yeah. Anyway, the
you're
charts,
an
there are a lot. There's a lot of, and 50's in there twice.
Yes. Number one with 21 questions. Sean Paul Get Busy is still in at number two. I Know What You Want. That's Mariah and Busta. So the top four is the same as last week.
Pretty much.
Can't Let You Go. Fabulous. But probably my favorite song of the early 2000s, and one that I tried to download. It must have been off LimeWire, not Napster, if it's only in the charts now.
The fact that it is your favorite song from then speaks to how classy an individual
you are. I'm very classy. I must have tried to get it off LimeWire then, not Napster, because Napster's shut at this point.
Maybe Kazaa?
Maybe Kazaa.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Magic Stick. It was, I think it was about 23 seconds of Magic Stick and then it turned into something else.
Oh, really?
I was so upset because I'd been downloading it for about 5 days.
I understand. Somebody makes a phone call and it's all over.
Where's my Magic Stick?
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, I've got it right here if you're like, I got your Magic Stick.
What?
Yeah.
Number five, Magic Stick, Lil Kim. And 50 Cent, like you said, he's appearing twice in the top five. But the song was actually the second single from Kim's third album, La Bella Mafia.
Lil Kim. What, are you on a first name basis with her?
Yes.
Don't drop the little. That's disrespectful.
I read about her in The Source in the 90s. I feel like I can refer to her as Kim.
You've got a connection. Yes, sure. No worries. Yep.
Back when she was feuding with Foxy Brown. Mm. So Lil Kim, she was in Moulin Rouge as well, early 2000s.
Oh, yeah. She was kind of the more dirty version of Moulin Rouge. Like, you know, she was the one that's saying, she says so many bad words in her music, just quietly. I got the lyrics for Magic Stick.
Yes.
And quite frankly, I'm blushing.
That is tame compared with her stuff in the 90s. So her and Foxy Brown, when they were feuding, like they were the first female rappers that rapped probably as dirty as what the death row artists like, you know, Tupac, Snoop, Dre, propelled
her. So where 50 Cent is talking about he's got the magic stick. I mean, this is a PG podcast. So kids, if you're in the car with mum and dad, please feel free to ask them what a magic stick is and let them explain that to you. But also, like, let's have a listen to what Lil Kim has to say.
Once I get lit, twice I am the baddest chick. Sure you don't believe me, then come with me tonight and I'll show you magic.
Kids, if you're in the car with mum and dad, especially young men, like just ask them about what it is, where you can find it. That there will be a lot of ladies that will thank you later on in life.
Yes, helpful tip. Mm-hmm. It was released on her album.
I'm sorry.
It was released on her album. Yeah, I'm surprised that you didn't bleep that, her bit, because her bit is actually worse than 50
Cent.
But,
well, there was no, she didn't say any swears.
Okay.
She's just talking about body parts.
Yes, okay. Yeah. It was released on La Bella Mafia. It was originally intended for his album Get Rich or Die Trying.
Do you want me to walk that back? Or are we going to keep going?
We'll keep going.
All right, great.
We'll keep going.
Okay, cool.
We'll get rich or die. Maybe we'll put a little warning on the start of that segment.
Nah.
Will we? No?
Nah, we'll just keep going.
Good luck. We're not going to have any more listeners. That's okay. So it was originally going to be on Get Rich or Die Trying, 50's album.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And it was going to feature a rapper called Trina. Trina just finished.
Come over here and have a look B&H, at 50's magic stick.
Her B&H 8 milligrams.
She's fresh from a very quick drinking session at the 2020.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. She sent her verse back and must have sounded like she was drunk because 50's gone, no, don't want it.
Wow. He knocked her back.
No deal. So he then sent the song to Lil Kim.
It's like the fish that John West rejected.
He's gone, Trina, you're out. Lil Kim, hey.
You're in.
Hey. Yeah. Hey, can you magic stick, please?
What?
Lil Kim is not very good with the deadline.
What?
She didn't get the song back before the deadline for Get Rich or Die Trying. She sent it back to him.
She just
but
missed
too
the
late.
Deadline.
She missed, like, the deadline.
Sorry for
she
the
got
late
an F.
reply.
She got an F because she didn't hand it in on time. Mm-hmm. But 50's like, you know what? It's pretty good. You can have it for your album. I think that's very nice of him.
He gave it to her.
He effectively said, like, you were late, but I'm going to let you have this for your album. So the song charted as her second highest single. This is interesting because she was so big in the 90s.
Lil Kim. Yeah.
Yeah. And this became her second highest selling single as a lead artist and her second highest overall, second only to Lady Marmalade, which I don't know how she'd feel about that. Because she worked so hard through the 90s. Yeah, but for Lady Marmalade to be her number one song and Magic Stick to be the one that she turned in late.
Yeah.
After everything she did through the 90s.
Why wasn't she more prompt with her reply?
She should have.
Well, I mean, that's on her.
I think it worked in her favour because she put it on her album and she made the money off of it because it was on her album, not on 50's. So it worked out well that she was late.
For want of a better word, it's a classic.
It is a classic.
Sure.
It is a classic. Yep. It became 50s second overall top 10 and top 3 single. Reached number 2 on the US Billboard Hot 100, number 1 on the US Hot Rap Songs, and number 47 on the New Zealand charts. It didn't chart here in Australia, which is why I had so much trouble, because I would have bought it. That's why I had to LimeWire it, because it wasn't available.
Just couldn't get it on the
charts.
Could
not get it. I couldn't get
you're
it here in Australia.
Just reading about it in the source, and you're like, what's this magic stick they speak of?
Yes. No, I heard it when I was in America. Because it was all over the radio. It was all over Casey Kasem. While I was shaving my legs to Intuition by Jewel, and all the Martha Stewart fans were crying.
You
and
were fantasizing about the magic stick as well. Yeah.
I was thinking a lot about the magic stick, and I couldn't get the magic stick when I came home.
Well, that's because you were stuck at summer camp. I mean, it's like being at sea, basically. Anyway, hello, sailor.
This song almost never happened. Back in 2002, there was the Mix Show Power Summit.
What?
And it was a power summit, and it was a power summit of the hip hop who's who.
Was that like a conference?
It was.
Who was the keynote
Eminem.
Speaker?
Eminem
was
the keynote.
Was he really?
It was the premiere of 8 Mile. So you'll come together for the hip hop.
He delivered
power
a
summit.
Keynote, did he?
Eminem introduced it and played his movie, and they all watched.
Wow!
And then afterwards, Eminem performed, and he got 50 up on stage with him.
Right.
And Lil Kim was invited, so she's at the Power Summit as well because she's hip-hop and she's powerful.
Yeah.
She's standing on a chair because she's quite short.
Short, yeah.
And she's trying
a
to
chair.
Get a she's standing okay. on a chair to get a better view.
Yep.
And she's watching 50. He starts rapping and then he says, "I'm convinced, man, something's really wrong with these hoes. I thought Lil Kim was hot till she started effing with her nose."
Oh, he did a bit of freestyle.
He dissed her. He dissed her while she was standing on the chair, and she said, "Oh, you mother,"
which is rap for "Hey, buddy."
That's not very nice.
Yeah,
she was shocked by his words. She was there with Trina, drunk B&H Trina,
who was going to be the
was
original,
rejected.
Got knocked
she
back.
She was with
for
Trina
the,
and
the magic stick.
Trina stood up for her, her and Trina were angry
that 50 was
dissing her,
doing a live diss track
and swearing.
Yeah.
And then she made a choice to forgive him and they went out for dinner.
Yep.
And then he called her up for Magic Stick. Isn't that amazing?
So this is pre-Magic
this
Stick.
This is pre-Magic Stick.
Right.
This is 2002.
And that is how history will be written. PMS, pre-Magic Stick, and AMS after Magic Stick.
But they're beefing again, apparently.
Are they?
So there was a 50 Cent, what did he say? Oh, he did a post on Instagram. He's got to be careful on Instagram. He can be a bit too much.
Can he?
He compared her with a leprechaun in a video of her dancing. And he wrote, "I'm sorry. I know it's early, but I don't know why this.
I got the lucky charms. What?
I don't know why this shit is so funny to me. Lol." And then Lil Kim wasn't pleased. And she then commented on the post and said that he was creepy and he was obsessed with her. So they're fighting again. No Magic Stick part 2. I'm sad.
Well, you might be sad. But I was relatively happy at the time because Stacey's mum had it going on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we had an album release back in 2003. The film clip for this song is so beautiful. It's so good. You remember Fountains of Wayne?
Fountains of Wayne. I only remember Fountains of Wayne for Stacey's mom. I can't recall any other song that they did.
It doesn't matter. Such a great band name. They released their third studio album, Welcome Interstate Managers, with what was their most popular song, Stacey's Mom. Stacey's Mom. So good. Rachel
Such
Hunter
good
played Stacey's mum.
Oh, yes.
Rachel, how good is Rachel Hunter?
I love her.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's
gorgeous. And it's such a good film clip. It's back in the day where music videos were amazing. That is one of the most amazing videos, Stacey's Mum. So Adam Schlesinger, who is the founding member of Fountains of Wayne, actually got inspiration for the song. When he discovered one of his friends was attracted to his grandmother.
Oh, not his mum, his grandma.
No, his grandma.
Yeah. Your nan's hot.
Yeah. And he says it's sort of about that period where you're first hitting puberty and suddenly everybody of the opposite sex is strangely attractive. This is what he said in an interview to MTV. He goes, it's a combination of sexual awakening and limited contact with a large number of people. So you've got your small circle, that small circle. So, you know, things are happening with your body and stuff, and but you don't know anyone, and so all you really know are your mates and their mothers. So it's like, you know, it's the kids at school and whatever else happens to be in your life, which is your friends and their mums, really. Do you know, I couldn't believe this, actually. This is really sad, that Adam from Fountains of Wayne died in 2020 from complications from COVID.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, he's 52 years old. He's in Poughkeepsie outside of New York City in hospital. He's on a ventilator and he didn't make it. It was terrible. Gosh. He was tested positive. Everything was going fine. He tested positive to COVID and he was hospitalized, put on a ventilator for over a week and then passed away. It's just tragic. Yeah. So tragic. That's a massive downer on what is such a fun and awesome song. And the video, like I said, is amazing. It was directed by Chris Applebaum, who did a bunch of videos for, like, I don't know, people that you're into, like
Usher,
Demi Lovato, and Miley. All of these amazing scenes showing young boys trying to get close to Rachel Hunter, which was really good. Yeah. And of course, Stacey is the best friend of the guy.
I think Stacey has a crush on him.
Yeah, but he's not interested. No. He doesn't want to entertain that because he's serious about the mum. Yeah. Rachel Hunter actually was a fan of the band, which is why she agreed to be in there. And the whole thing is just amazing. The video is awesome.
I watched the video again yesterday because I haven't seen it for years, and it is spectacular, almost as spectacular as the comments, as you'd expect. So Stacey's mum is a single working mum who owns a fancy car and a house with a pool. She makes time to pick up her daughter after school and play tennis and has time to care for her own body and health because she's getting a massage without a top on at one point.
Yep.
Whilst going on business trips, Stacey's mum has got it going on.
Absolutely.
World peace declared. Everyone agrees that Stacey's mum has got it going on.
For sure.
Damn, this song has become a huge part of my childhood and awakened all of my playmates.
Oh, goodness me.
As a 12-year-old boy, I just want to say that the cinematography is impeccable. Sure. Even as a teenage female, Stacey's mum has got it going on.
Yeah.
After 13 years, I can confirm that Stacey's mum does indeed still have it going on.
All right.
I lost my mother and father. We used to hear this in the car with the whole family every family trip. This song means the world to me. R.I.P. Mum and Dad.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That just appeared out of nowhere, that comment, and then someone replies to that comment, ruined the mood. It's terrible, but also.
No, it's true. Like, yeah, this is, I mean, way to just, you know, what a buzzkill. You know, it's not all about you, mate. I get it. Like, you know, you used to listen to a song with your mum and dad in the car and they're not with you anymore. And, yeah, Stacey's mum's got it going on. But thanks. Thanks for ruining the comment. Thanks for hijacking the comment thread on Stacey's mum.
If you're ever in Dublin catching a train, there's a guy called Gareth.
Oh, really?
And in one of the train stations, I don't know which one.
Finding a guy named Gareth in Dublin. Yeah.
In one of the train stations in Dublin, there's like a community piano. I think that's gross, personally, because everyone touches it.
Community pianos.
Yeah, just a piano. Just
you don't want to tickle ivories that other people have tickled.
Gross.
Okay, sure.
Gross. But anyway, Gareth doesn't have a problem, so he plays the public piano in the train station, and apparently he always plays Stacey's mum to see if anyone recognises it.
That is awesome.
And no one has.
Oh,
so if anyone who's listening, any of our three listeners are ever in Dublin at the station and you see a public piano and you see a guy playing and he's playing Stacey's, please go up and start singing it.
My mate Brian is heading over to Ireland
really?
At the moment. I don't know if he listens to the podcast, though, because I've got heaps of friends that claim to be my friends, but they don't listen to the podcast. So,
friends. Nice guilt trip. Anyway. Ruined the mood.
Yeah.
But if he could go and see Gareth.
Well, I'm going to message him after this. I'll slide into his DMs.
Great.
I'll say, listen, I know you don't listen to the podcast, you piece of shit. But, you know, if you are in Dublin, here's something that you
please
might
keep
look
an
out
eye
for.
Out for Gareth.
Exactly. Amazing. Let's go over to some music news. I believe there is a tour taking place with a certain beatboxer and somebody who's a bit dirty.
Justin Timberlake and Christina Aguilera on the 4th of June 2003. Sorry, on 4 June 2003. Kick off their Summer Justified and Stripped tour.
I'm trying to make a tour happen here.
Join Justin Timberlake and Christina Aguilera as they team up for this summer's most anticipated tour.
The name of the tour is Justified and Stripped.
There's nothing like being on that stage and doing it live.
I'm excited about showing people a different side of what I do.
No, I feel like I'm in sixth grade right here. Yeah. You, come see us.
It's going to be so much fun. I promise you, you won't want to miss this.
I would have gone if I'd known that he wasn't going to beatbox.
If there was a no beatboxing no guarantee, beatboxing. You would have purchased a ticket. I promise I will not beatbox. Has he? He's kind of changed the way he talks there.
Yes.
Trying to sound a bit cooler, perhaps. Trying to sound a bit more street.
Yeah, well, NSYNC are still waiting for him to come back and they're not do their next album.
He's not returning.
When's he coming
calls?
Back? Why is he going off with Christina? Justin, I don't understand.
About? What's this Justified and Stripped stuff? We're ready to go. We've got songs written. Everything's about to happen. No. Okay, no. Cool. Well, look, if you come back to us, we'll throw a couple of beatboxing parts in a few songs.
Just for you.
Do it.
45 cities the tour visited in America, 46 shows in total, running until the 2nd of September 2003. That's a while.
That's a lot of dates. It's a lot of dates.
Tired just thinking about it.
Yeah, Justified and Stripped. How long is I haven't really been to a pop concert. I've been outside when pop concerts have been happening, as you would well
know.
Oh, it's
like five, yes.
Yeah. But how long does a set go for? How long
90
does a pop
minutes,
so it's like an hour and a half tops for a pop concert.
I reckon it's about an album
with
length.
Supports, or is that just for their actual
Yeah.
So that, well.
And then they go off and everyone's like, are they going to come back? And then they come back. Come and back you know they the, are. The uncle, like, surprise.
Isn't that funny? That cliche exists across multiple genres. Like, you know.
It's, you're like, oh, my God, they've come back. Oh. And the one time that they don't come back, you stay sitting in your chair for a good hour. No, they'll come back.
Not,
I know they will. They have to come back.
They're not
coming
back.
And then the house lights come on. No, they're still going to come back. They're really playing this one up.
Yeah, no, they're not coming back. So 45 cities, 46 shows.
Yes, 2nd of September. Black Eyed Peas were the support act, which...
July, August, September. Yeah, okay, they get a few days off in there. Yeah.
Black Eyed Peas. So support. That's interesting because remember he did Where Is the Love? He did the vocals for Where Is the Love,
so they, Black Eyed they Peas. They must have met on that tour.
And so...
Struck
I
up
think,
a friendship.
No, I think they'd already done that song before the tour.
Is that right?
It was around the same time.
I don't know.
And then remember Fergie came in and we never talked about Justin being on there because it was all about Fergie after that.
Fergalicious, Defalicious, something or other.
It's interesting. Yep. 17 semi-trucks carried the stage and equipment, over 200 moving lights, 250 pyro hits. The power for one show equals the power it takes to run 350 households.
Really?
It's not very energy efficient. And it grossed $31.8 million.
Not bad for 45 days' work.
And an annoying beatboxer.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, ba-dum, boom, ba-boom, ba-chica.
That was actually really good.
Yeah, eat your heart out, Timberlake, thus proving that anyone can do that. Let's talk about entertainment.
Let's do it. Number one at the Australian and the US box office this week, 20 years ago, Too Fast, Too Furious.
What's his deal?
I got a problem with authority.
You just need to chill out.
You ready for this?
Come on, man. Guns, murderers, and crooked cops. I was made for this, bro.
We're up to 10 Fast and Furious movies.
Is that the one that just came out, number 10?
Yeah, number 10, Fast and Furious X.
And it's got Vin Diesel in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, Vin Diesel wasn't in this one.
He wasn't. He was offered 25 mil, but he was like, screenplay.
Didn't like it.
Bit meh. Yeah. And he did Chronicles of Riddick instead.
Well, Chronicles, I like Chronicles of Riddick. I like Pitch Black.
So he made the right choice?
It's a bit like Chronicles of Riddick received mixed reviews as a science fiction
film. Was that the follow-up to Pitch Black?
Yeah, Pitch Black was incredible. Yeah. Such a good sci-fi movie. Yeah. Anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Too Furious. So he opted out of that.
Walker was in this one.
Well, right? Paul Walker was in this and he was happy to do it. And like a franchise has pretty much been born at this stage because, well, they do this one and then they do Tokyo Drift and then they bring it all back together in the fourth one, I think.
Yes.
I can't keep up. I have to say I have not watched a lot of these films beyond the first one, and I think what was the one we watched?
I liked that one. That one was good.
I feel like now that we have a young boy
who likes cars.
Who loves cars.
Yes.
We're probably going to have to watch all of them. So let's just, you know, enjoy it.
Let's embrace it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two also had Tyrese Gibson, Eva Mendes, Luda.
Yeah. Do you know who else it had? Cole Hauser, Rip from My Man Crush. Yeah, he was in there.
Had Ludacris as well.
I don't care about Ludacris. Cole Hauser's in there, My Man Crush, Rip.
So what was the
I would turn for Rip.
Just, would you?
Anyway, yes.
They go undercover for
Fun fact, Cole Hauser, Rip, was in Pitch Black.
Was he?
Hmm. Yeah.
Was it a big part?
Yes.
I was the bounty hunter
that was chasing after Riddick.
I had a crush on Vin Diesel, so that's really? All I was looking at. Yes, yeah. Yes. I think I used
Go
to really
on,
Vin, like
say it. Say I am Groot.
What?
Anyway. He's the voice of Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is he?
Yes.
Vin Diesel.
How did you not know that? Everybody knows that. Keep talking about.
I don't think I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy.
Keep talking about this film.
Okay.
Mm.
So they go undercover
yes.
for the US Customs Service mm-hmm. and the FBI.
Oh, they're customs agents. They're making sure that you don't smuggle fruit across the border.
Fruit fly. And the FBI.
Yep.
No, because they want to apprehend drug lord Carter Verone.
And he's smuggling fruit across the border.
Who is played by someone with the last name Hauser. Cole Hauser.
Yeah, Rip.
Oh, that's Rip.
That's Rip.
Right, so he's a drug lord.
Yeah, in this
year. Really?
Yes, yeah.
Doesn't look like a drug lord.
No, he looks like – well, he doesn't – he's a ranger too. He doesn't normally have black hair and a black beard and, yeah.
So I grabbed all the cars that everyone was driving.
Oh, the cars, yes.
Yes, because our son loves cars, so I thought that's probably a good thing to learn.
Oh, yeah, I should have scrolled through the show notes and saw
so
that.
So Paul Walker has a 99 Nissan Skyline GTR.
Oh, the Skyline, mate, fully sick.
But he also drives a Mitsubishi Lancer.
Oh, Lancer. See, Evolution. Mitsubishi's much maligned car.
Like, do you remember when everyone did that thing with their Mitsubishis in the early 2000s and they changed the lights to make it look like a Lexus?
No.
You don't remember that?
No,
people did this thing with their Mitsubishi lights and it was like Lexus lights.
But it's still a Mitsubishi.
Yes, I know. It bothered me so much.
It's like people
if
that
you
want
did
to get
that,
into the,
you bothered me.
Yeah, it's like people that want to get into the dual cab ute game and like the Triton is a really cheap way
Triton?
To do that.
Oh, Mitsubishi
Triton.
Yes.
Yeah. But the people that own like Hiluxes and Ford Rangers often look down their noses at them.
Well, fair enough. If I was driving a Skyline, I'd do that to a Lancer.
Well, he's got both of them, so he doesn't have to worry about it.
Tyrese had a Mitsubishi. It must have been sponsored by Mitsubishi. I don't picture those as Hoon cars.
Mm. A Mitsubishi as a Hoon car?
No.
No. Okay.
Devon Aoki was Suki. Remember her?
Yeah.
She was great.
She was a very unique looking and attractive young lady.
What else was she?
Devon Aoki. Sin City? She
yes,
was in Sin City,
that's right. Yeah, that's what I remember her from. She drove a hot pink custom Honda. See, that's a good car, a Honda.
Yeah, love a Honda.
S2000.
Yep. Shout out to Honda.
Yes.
If you want to sponsor us, our CRV's on about 250,000
yes,
Ks and
yes.
we're probably in
don't
the market for a new one
go.
Pretty soon. Feel free, you know. There's lots of dealerships around here if you're listening.
A Maori drove an orange Mazda RX-7. We like the RX-7.
Yeah,
Michael Ealy, who was Slapjack, drove a gold Toyota Supra, would
so
also drive
cool.
one of those. Mm. Love a Supra.
Don't mind a Supra, yeah.
And there's a guy that drove a 1970 Dodge Challenger. So that's the cars.
Great, awesome.
There's no Vin Diesel.
Yep.
Critics score of 36% and a 50% audience score. So I think people missed Vin.
It's like the worst summer nats ever.
Vin Diesel, isn't that like your chassis
number? It's like the number on the car, yeah. And so you do a rego check, put in the VIN, find out if it's been stolen or had an insurance claim up against it.
Do you still do a revs check?
Absolutely.
These days?
You should.
Do you? Is that still a thing? Because you know, I did that when I bought my Pulsar in the 90s. Mm-hmm. That's still a thing.
Absolutely.
A you want to revs check your car.
Yeah,
make sure it's from a reputable owner / dealer. Hasn't had any insurance jobs on it or been stolen. Yeah.
We're so good at cars. Can you tell? Yeah, we know so much.
I know about cars. Let's talk about TV. Oh, this is a show I never watched. Awesome. Okay. Always Greener. That ended in 2003.
I did this
What
week.
Was that? Oh, you know why I didn't watch it? Because it had the chick who played Molly from a country practice.
And Tenney.
And I couldn't separate. The
like,
actor
she's dead.
From the character. Yeah, I'm like,
it's a miracle.
She died. How is Molly from A Country Practice in this show and Tenney, the actor, still alive? But Molly from A Country Practice is dead, and I will not stand to see her walking around like a zombie in Always Greener. Mm-hmm. Zombie Molly from A Country Practice. Like, I cried real tears for Molly when she died in A Country Practice.
Wasn't she? She was on a couch outside in the backyard.
I don't want to talk too much. And then someone
came up and her hand was hanging off the side of the couch.
I don't want to talk about
It's still in my mind.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Always Greener. Right. I didn't watch it either. It was very big for Channel 7. And I think when it first came out, because the whole premise of the show is two families.
It was a drama comedy.
A city family and a country family. Yeah. And they're just dealing with stuff. And they decide, why don't we just do a switcheroony and then all the stuff will just disappear.
Oh, really? So they're like, you go to the city.
Yeah, they do a swap. They do a swap.
Great.
And everyone was like, oh, this is just a ripoff of Sea Change, which I've never seen, so I don't know. But then people started watching it because they were really annoyed and they started watching going, oh, actually, this is pretty good. And I read through a lot of reviews on IMDb.
Yep.
And all of the reviews were so positive. People were saying that it was warm, it was funny, it was clever, the actors were amazing. You had John Howard in there, not the Prime Minister, the actor.
Yeah.
Michaela Bannis. Yeah. Grant Bowler. He popped up.
The Mole. Yeah.
The Mole.
Yeah, Michaela Bannis was pretty good.
You know, sometimes it takes a tragedy like this to bring a family closer together, and having a new home will be just the tonic that Liz needs to pull her through this.
Marissa Taylor, you are guilty of selfishly reveling in your newfound happiness at a time of acute family loss. Before I pass sentence, do you have anything to say?
I'm Generation Y. I'm meant to be selfish.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's the dramedy side of it. Right. Yeah. I think reality TV really killed it. Like it lasted for 2 years.
It was one of those Channel 7 shows that then just started moving to later and later, because when I worked at that station, I used to have to back announce all the shows. And I remember it was on at sort of, you know, 7:30, 8:30, and then all of a sudden it was on at 11:30.
And I think I look back now and I drama is so much more expensive to produce than reality TV. Because reality TV, all you got to really do is pay for the crew, right?
And I think the ratings, they went down a little but not a lot, but they were concerned over the costs of production. And, yeah, obviously, like you say, and I think this was around the time when you had, you know, like you're Dancing with the Stars and all of those sorts of shows, which had very low overhead costs.
Yeah, which is a bit shit because, you know, you're not really inspiring anyone to create any art, and I can't really talk. I'm a massive hypocrite. I never watched it.
Well, it's available to stream on 7 Plus now.
All right.
So there you go.
I can make good. I can redeem myself.
You can catch up. But according to all of the reviews, people were just so pleasantly surprised.
Overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, it was quite different from everything else at the time. And again, it's like, oh, I do kind of feel like we need to get behind these Australian-made productions and support Australian actors.
Yeah, but they got to be good. They got to be good. It can't be just all cops and doctors. Like, they got to be good.
Apparently it is good.
They got to be good. You know, 2 years. The other thing is, too, is I feel like short-lived series actually end up being much more enjoyed or appreciated historically because they don't go on for long enough for them to be despised.
As long as you have closure.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't just get cut off without answers.
Here's a really good example. Ted Lasso, right?
Yes.
Love Ted Lasso. Great show. Awesome show. They know that it's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. This is the last season of it. However, there are a lot of critics that are coming out now going, oh, it's too popular. It's been going on for too long, you know. And I honestly think sometimes it's just journalists trying to get a point of difference out of there, because that show puts a lot of positivity out in the world. But there is a point where you go so far within a series that, like, if you don't know where it's headed and you've got a team of writers kind of figuring it out as they go along, you know, you can
end up with Lost.
You end up with, or Neighbours, or Home and Away. Oh, 2 weeks in a row we've got books.
Well, this isn't a New York Times bestseller number one yet. I think it does get to number one.
So why are we talking about it?
Well, I just didn't have a lot of content this week, so I thought I'd chuck it in this week.
I beg to differ. We've been recording for a significant amount of time.
Well, I blame you for that.
All right. Well, we can drop this segment.
No, I think we need to talk about this. So this is when the book was actually released, but I do believe it tops the bestseller. But it's on the nonfiction. We don't talk about the nonfiction.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
We should talk about
so
it.
So what
now.
Is it? Is it a
9th of June, Living History by Hillary Clinton is released.
This sounds like it's gonna get a bit grubby.
And this is the thing. So this time 20 years ago, we've got the war in Iraq, where post 9/11.
Yes.
But everybody was lining up, camped out overnight to get their hands on this book because they wanted to know how she would retell the whole Monica Lewinsky saga.
Well, why would she? She wasn't there.
Well, from her perspective.
Oh, so it's her reaction to.
Yeah, everybody was waiting. They were standing in line at bookstores wanting the scoop about his confession. Apparently in the actual book, the confession and the Lewinsky affair was 3 pages out of 562 pages.
Oh, good. And I think there was that scene where Bill was up on stage and he was rapping and he was like, I thought Hillary was hot until she started effing with her nose. And then Hillary was like standing up going, oh, you mother effer. No. Yeah, so they only gave 3 pages to the Lewinsky affair.
And I think somebody wrote it for her. So according to The Guardian, they said that people were lined up, curious about it, but apparently the book was as juicy as a banana.
Oh, yuck. Well, poor old Monica Lewinsky. She has to have been one of the most, I don't know, there's a woman who has extremely broad shoulders, not by choice. You know what I mean?
When did it happen? I'm just Googling it now. What year was whole affair?
Late 90s?
I feel like.
Well, obviously, like 98, 99?
Let's have a look. It began in 95.
Holy shit.
And ended in 97. Wow. And the speech, I didn't have sexual relations with that woman, was 98. 98,
yeah.
I always remember I was at uni and my dad used to drop me off on his way to work. So we're sitting in the Sigma. That's when he drove the Sigma.
Mitsubishi.
We're in the, yes.
Not a Fast and Furious
car. Could have been
car.
In Fast. The drifting was amazing in that car, let me tell you.
Sure.
We were sitting at the traffic lights in Canberra and driving to uni, and I remember listening to the radio, and this is the days of the crazy call and the prank call, and I remember the radio hosts rang up a dry cleaner somewhere within the Washington area wanting to know if they were the ones that had cleaned the dress. And I was so embarrassed because the content of it was just ick, and I'm sitting next to my dad like, ooh, this is so awkward. But it was all that people spoke about, all the night, you know, the late night talk shows. It was always jokes about that. It was so gross in hindsight.
Well, I mean, especially like she seemed quite tarnished by it and he came off.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he? Anyway, so like I feel bad for Monica Lewinsky. Like, but I feel like Monica Lewinsky, through no choice of her own, has had to become a pretty tough lady.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, like, how young was she?
Oh, and it just, man.
The whole thing is horrible.
It is. It's really gross.
But it's interesting, like, in this whole climate of the war in Iraq and everything that's happening, people are just, like, we've got to read Hillary's take on this whole thing. It's like, we need to know how she feels about it.
Why is everyone doing flips and twists to find it? And then it's like, but even to go, oh, well, it's only 3 pages in Hillary's book. Mm. I mean, well, you know, that's because Hillary didn't have the affair. And the affair, you know,
you probably do not want to be talking about it.
Hillary,
yeah.
But like, yeah. you know, Hillary is not as much of a victim of that affair as what Monica Lewinsky is, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'd much rather read a book from Monica Lewinsky's point of view about all the shit that she's had to go through after the fact about, you know, and I think you'd be quite shocked as to the way the media treated her and what people probably just said to her out on the streets. I mean, she's like, because nobody will go against The Office, but like she would have been the one that would have been, I mean, she's like so young.
Yeah. He knew well, if she's an intern, what would she be? Like 19?
Mate, he knew exactly what he was doing. It's ridiculous. Anyway, Hillary. What was it called? Living History?
Living History. So it's more about her time through the White House years and a chronicle of living.
Her job as First Lady.
As First Lady and living with the president and also her life in the lead up to that. And she was probably the first lady to play such a major role as well. And she played a role in shaping legislation. She had a whole bunch of causes that she got behind as well. She was like quite an advocate around healthcare, educational opportunity, women's rights, human rights. Sure. She did a lot of stuff as First Lady. And I think we obviously really saw that with Obama and Michelle as well. But I think Hillary was quite the trailblazer as far as that's concerned, and it wasn't such a surprise when then she ran for office further down the track, because that is kind of what she did as First Lady.
She had a plan.
Do you think at that point she was thinking about running herself?
Maybe.
Do you reckon?
I think she might have had a plan. Yeah.
I don't know, but she did really redefine the position of First Lady.
Yeah.
And that's what the book is all about. Like,
I don't know. I'm a bit on the fence, and I'm not on the fence. I'm skeptical about Hillary and her motivation and all that sort of stuff. You got to remember, like, she lost to Donald Trump.
It's interesting too that a lot of the commentary coming out of the States, and like, we don't know because we don't live there,
she
but there was so many
to Donald Trump.
There were so many comments around people saying, I don't want to vote for Trump, but I don't want to vote for Hillary. Like, I'm not voting for Trump. I just don't want to vote for Hillary.
Yeah.
Which I found quite interesting because I don't know enough about her, but I didn't understand what was so polarizing about her.
The phrase "the lesser of two evils" enters my mind a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I'm not saying that one is better. I'm not trying to put any sort of political opinion forward on either of them.
This is an apolitical podcast.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Like, it was a very interesting time when you had those two running against each other.
Yeah, people went for Trump over her.
Right?
So what is it? Yeah, what is it about her? And I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I haven't read a book. I don't follow her. I don't know enough about her.
Neither of us have read her book, and we probably won't. So what did the people say? What did they say?
And this is a thing as well that you find with particularly nonfiction books and from someone like her, is that when you read the reviews, a lot of them are politically motivated. Mm. So there's a lot of stuff in there attacking her from a political perspective, and some really kind of grubby comments from people that don't support the Democrat? Don't support the Democrats.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. So yes, I had to filter through them. So let's have a look. Melina, 1 star. Though I admire Hillary Clinton and am inspired by her, this book was like eating cardboard while watching paint dry. I could not get into it.
That's what Bill said.
You were just as bad.
Sorry.
Chaos.
Yes.
Chaos. Uh-huh. I love it. I love that you're doing reviews on the Goodreads and you're calling yourself Chaos.
Yeah.
Feels a bit much.
Yeah.
This is the longest resume I've ever read. Chaos was onto something like you.
Yeah.
Longest resume.
Yeah.
Painful. Also skirts around the things the public wants answers to. Annoying, but I expected it.
That's why LinkedIn probably has a word limit now, Chaos. Yeah. E. Smith gave it 1 star, said, if you like fiction, this book is for you. This book has so many holes, you could drain your spaghetti in it. And look, if it had that many holes, I'm sure Bill would be up in them as well. Anyway.
And E. Smith also spelt spaghetti wrong.
Oh, he did. He said spaghetti with an E, spaghetti. Big League Body Count.
Oh, this Big is League be good.
Body Count. Yes. Gave it 1 star. Okay. My friend bought this book and wrote a negative review about it. Days later, was found dead with a barbell on his neck in his bathroom. Sad. What? What is that?
Wow. Maybe we shouldn't be talking about this
Big
book.
Big League Body Count is a conspiracy theorist. Okay. What else have we got? Christian, 1 star. Christian. K-R-I-S-T-I-J-A-N. Christian. Oh, that's nice. 1 star. Another piece of sci-fi crap with a bad ghostwriter at the helm. Man. Crooked. You suck even when you suck up to yourself. All right. We'll go from last to first with Hatches, Matches or Dispatches, because the clue is sort of...
Oh, so we're going to
clue
start.
Is the 10th of June, but we've got a death on the 12th of June.
Start with the dispatch.
Sadly, Gregory Peck passed away on the 12th of June in 2003. Mm. Now, everyone knows who Gregory Peck is.
Mm.
He's an American actor, one of the most popular film stars from the 1940s to the 70s. In 1999... the American Film Institute named Gregory Peck the 12th greatest male star of classic Hollywood cinema. I mean, you don't want to walk into any situation and go, hey, don't mess with me. I'm the 12th greatest. But I think he was pretty great. The reason why I'm so fond of Gregory Peck is because back in the school days, I was never really fond of school, but I did love English class.
Mm-hmm.
I loved English, and we read a lot of classic literature in English.
Yeah.
And probably one of the best books that I have, I think, ever read.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sound highbrow because it's like that, but it was one of the best books I've ever read. It was To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee.
Yep.
And as part of that, we got to watch the film as well. And I've read the book after school, much later in life.
I read it in book club about 10 years ago now, and it's still phenomenal. Yeah.
And it's such a fabulous book.
Yeah.
It's such a great story, and there's so much in it that is still relevant in this day and age. And I think with Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch.
How good was he?
I just think if they ever tried to remake To Kill a Mockingbird.
You couldn't.
You can't.
No.
There's only one Atticus Finch, and it's Gregory Peck. And there's this wonderful speech that he does at the end of the film where he's addressing the jury, and it goes a little something like this.
In this country, our courts are the great levelers. In our courts, all men are created equal. I'm no idealist to believe firmly in the integrity of our courts and of our jury system. That's no ideal to me. That is a living, working reality.
He is great. He is great. He is in that film where he won an Academy Award for To Kill a Mockingbird for his portrayal of Atticus Finch. And you can't put anyone else in that role, I don't think.
Yeah.
He was in Moby Dick. He was in Cape Fear. He was in The Omen. I love The Omen. The Omen is such a good horror film, and he was awesome in The Omen. He died in his sleep on the 12th of June in 2003 from bronchopneumonia. He was 87 years old at his home in Los Angeles. His wife was by his side, Veronique, and he is buried in the Cathedral of Our Old Lady of the Angels Mausoleum in Los Angeles. Absolute legend of the silver screen. And I love all those we have so much stuff that's available on streaming and like, everything's like a Marvel movie or a big cinematic thing, and there's all this hype around it. And there is something to be said, and there's something that I've really enjoyed in recent times, and it's going back and watching films from back in that day.
Yeah.
Films that are sort of, around that sort of early 70s back.
Yeah.
60s, 50s, and just it's a different pace.
And looking at the way that they're shot,
it's a different presentation. It's a different style of acting, and it's just beautiful. And it's really I find it really comforting. I find a lot of comfort in it. Whereas like with stuff these days, it's all hype.
It's very
everything's
frantic.
Hype. And To Kill a Mockingbird is a perfect example of that. It's just a fabulous film. It's really great to watch. Old Alfred Hitchcock stuff as well. Love all of that sort of stuff. But yeah, Gregory Peck passed away on the 12th of June, 2003. We made it. I can't believe it. We're at the clue. The clue.
We are.
A celebrity that's having a birthday. This is one of my favorite people on planet Earth. He's a very divisive character. What celebrity famously said this?
I'm a loser, people. Oh, yeah. Let's get that out of the way. You know, 36, not married. I sleep on a futon.
He's not 36 anymore. He's a bit older than that.
I don't think he's on a futon anymore.
He had a birthday on the 12th of June. I think he's got married recently as well, or, you know, something like that. Anyway, if you said Bill Burr, you would be correct. Bill Burr is just a fabulous – he is my favorite –
I know.
Stand-up comedian.
I know.
He is just, because he is just.
He reminds me of you, actually.
He spits so much venom. He is just.
He's quite angry.
He's just a button-downed, middle to late middle-aged white male who's struggling to find his place in the world.
Just can't deal with idiots.
Perhaps he has found his place in the world. And he's just not happy about where he sits. I don't know. He's awesome. His
comedy is very clever.
He's extremely funny. He's very controversial. He does not give a shit about what anyone thinks of him. And he speaks his mind. And I think he's fabulous. And his stand-up comedy specials are the best comedy specials going
around.
Do
you like his older stuff or his more recent stuff?
I like all of it. I like all of it. Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of comedy specials that, like, you'll see somebody do a debut comedy special on Netflix and it'll be fire. Like, they'll be so good.
Yes.
And then they can't back it up.
You watch the next one and you're like,
but Bill Burr,
what happened?
Bill Burr, like, he delivers every single one that he does. He's constantly evolving and shifting and changing his perspective, and
it's quite relatable, even though he's quite bitter and angry in some of the bits, but it is relatable. The stuff that he talks about, you're like, yeah, I get that.
Because he makes it okay to be angry and annoyed. That's the best thing about it. Like, it is, and it is okay to be angry and annoyed, but you can still be a nice guy. And I genuinely think that Bill Burr at his core is a nice guy, but he does get pissed off.
Women have like too much energy for me. That's what I've noticed, you know? Like, you can't have a day off when you have a girlfriend. They just like see that open day. They're like, oh my God, let's go fill it up with some stuff. No, and then they just come at you with one horrible idea after another. You ever get that one? You want to go to brunch? You want to go to brunch on Sunday? And inside you're like, no! But you can't say that. You got to keep them happy, right? So what do you do? You're like, yeah, let's go to brunch. What a great idea. Why would you want to sleep in on a Sunday when you can go pay $18 for eggs? Nah, you're thinking.
Don't let anyone ever tell you that sarcasm is the lowest form of wit. That's all I can say. Happy birthday to Bill Burr. Thank you for existing in this timeline that we are all in as well. The world is a much better place with you in it. And the world is a much better place with you in it for listening to our podcast. Thank you so much. We are at the end. We're done. But you can find us over on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok,
which we need to check more often now that we're getting tips on
especially
what to do with our
people
cards.
People from Your Life on the Lawn are getting in touch with us. I mean, I'm a little bit starstruck.
Same.
But I'm starstruck by anyone who chooses to download this show. Thank you so much for putting up with us and letting us do this for you each and every week. And if you keep listening to it, we'll keep doing it. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for taking the time to rewind. Join us next time for another Week That Was 20 years ago. In the meantime, come and reminisce on the socials. Search for T-20 Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.